Welcome back, my friends, to the Derate the Hate podcast. I am your host, Wilk Wilkinson, your blue-collar sage, calming outrage and helping to navigate a world divided by fog and those who would spread that fear, outrage, and grievance. Each week, I'm sharing stories from my path and using the power of conversation and collaboration with my many great guests. Together, we chart a course toward understanding, bridging divides, and fostering a community where wisdom prevails over discord. Friends, it really is about bettering the world one attitude at a time. We did not create the hate, but together we can derate the hate. The only good thing about a bad attitude is we have the ability as individuals to change it. For me, it starts with gratitude and personal accountability. I am so incredibly grateful that you have taken the time to join me for another powerful DTH episode. Please remember to subscribe and share the DTH podcast with your network of friends. If you would like to support the show, check out the Support Us page on the Derate the Hate website. With that, my friends, let's get to it. Today, I'm welcoming back a truly inspiring and passionate voice for peace, purpose, and patriotism. Muhammad Ahmed, who some of you will know as Average Muhammad. He first joined us in episodes 49 and 150 of the DTH podcast, speaking boldly against extremism and hate through the lens of his nonprofit, Average Muhammad Organization. Today, in episode 267, Muhammad returns to share the next chapter in his journey, why the Average Muhammad Organization was shut down, and how he's pressing forward through a new venture. The Republican People of Color Political Action Committee, or RPOC.org. Muhammad's voice is one of conviction and clarity. He is a Somali-American Muslim, a capitalist businessman, an unapologetic dissident, and most importantly, a tireless advocate for peaceful change. His story is one of immense struggle, facing censorship, government pressure, and institutional pushback. But friends, he continues the good fight. Now in the heart of Washington, D.C., with his new book, Dissidents in America, as both a battle cry and a blueprint. In this conversation, we dive deep into what it means to love your country while questioning your government, how faith and freedom can coexist, and why dissent, real nonviolent, purposeful dissent, is as American as apple pie. Whether you're left, right, or somewhere in between, Muhammad's journey will challenge and inspire you to think bigger about what it means to truly stand for something. Let's get into it with my friend, Muhammad Ahmed. Here we go. Muhammad Ahmed, hey, welcome back to the Derate the Hate podcast, brother. So good to see you, man. How have you been?
Mr. Wilk, thank you. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. You did good time out there.
Yeah, man, it's been a wild ride. Obviously, a lot going on in my world, a lot going on in your world, and yeah, we just it's been too long since we've had a conversation, and I understand that you've got a new book out. You've been doing all kinds of new things, and with the new administration, there's just all of these things going on, Muhammad. We haven't talked nearly enough. So what I want to do is, in the time that we've got here today, I want to kind of unpack some of these things that you've got going on. So let's start with, I understand that recently, you know, people who've been listening to the Derate the Hate podcast for a while know that you've been on the podcast a few times talking about the Average Muhammad Organization, talking about, you know, depolarization, de-radicalization, working with young folks, trying to take folks that are being radicalized and de-radicalize them. But I've understood from what I've heard from you recently that didn't go quite as planned. So let's start there and kind of see where this thing goes, because I understand the Average Muhammad thing has kind of gone away or has been disbanded. Let's start there. Muhammad, go for it.
Well, a little bit of background. Some people know about us called Average Mohammed Organization. You can Google it. For the last 11 years, we've been working on as a counter-ideology organization, which basically goes against violent jihadists. And we organically grew into all hate. Basically, we became anti-hate because hate breeds all forms of extremism, whether it's anti-Christianity. Today, as you can see, you don't have to understand it, but you can see it, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia as a backlash to all that, racism, which is as old as America, and anti-LGBTQ up to a certain point, and also other forms of hate, you know. And we were the idealists who went out and engaged the public. We've reached over, I believe, 500 million people over 11 years, done over 1,800 interviews, got highly awarded. Citizen Diplomat by the State Department in 2020, Citizen Diplomat by Global Ties, that I'm very proud of, in 2018. And also, I'm a Bush Foundation Fellow. And the goal is to fight radicalization in promotion of democratic principles, American way of life, basically free people power, fighting hate to fight extremism. And that I did for, I believe, 11 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've always admired you for the work that you've done there. The cartoons, reaching out to the young people, trying to meet people where they are to fight the hate, fight the radicalism. You and I both know better than most, just because of the work that we've been doing. Hate begets more hate, and hate, radicalism, those things will never win out. So tell me then, Mohammed, what has happened with this? Because, you know, I just recently heard the news that Average Mohammed is going away. So if Average Mohammed is going away, number one, I want to know why. Number two, what's going on with you now if Average Mohammed is going away?
Well, unfortunately, in this country, there exists something called national security paranoia. And let me explain that to you. Being black, Muslim, and Republican in the last administration was seen as something negative, especially if you're an activist. And unfortunately, I encountered a weaponized two-tier system. And we agree to disagree. And unfortunately, being the government and a domestic intelligence agency called the FBI, which we tried and we had a good relationship, but in the last administration, things turned. And when I say turned, I mean it got weaponized. And the best I can put it is I got shut down and chased out of town.
Okay. So you're going to have to expand on that a little bit. Because I know we hear a lot these days about the judicial system, judicial activism, that the different, whether it be the FBI, I know that's one that's taken a lot of hits as having been weaponized against political dissidents, especially under the last administration. This is not something that I've spoke to a lot of people about, especially people who have experienced it. So you're going to have to unpack that for me a little bit, Mohammed, because I mean that. Well, when you talk about the FBI being weaponized against you, against your organization, being run out of town, that's something I'm going to need
background,
evidence. We need more than just. I mean, it's one thing to say it, but tell me a little bit about this. What happened? How did this happen? What are you talking about?
Excellent. In 2022, I wrote my first book, Average Mohammed Freedom Fighter. And I tried to introduce myself. I called that book Introduction. And what that basically did is I laid out what I did as Average Mohammed and how I came about as an organization called Average Mohammed. Now, in the last chapter, I said, look, we have a problem here. And that was a polite way of telling people who basically maintain 24/7 surveillance on us and read all our emails, read all our information, our telephone, and every good thing that comes with technology. We need to talk, or more or less, you need to back off. That message sent people into a rage. And unfortunately, things got worse from there. When I say it got worse, I mean it got worse. So it forced me to write a second book. But what I learned is, with free people power, there's always a choice. Now, with me, you understand I'm a do not comply guy. And when I say I do not comply, in the sense that when we fight radicalism, I'm the one who's preaching against violent jihadists and saying don't comply with them. Say no to terror. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who's saying to the anti-Christian community, don't comply with them. Say no to anti-Christianity, anti-Semitism, racism, anti-LGBTQ, anti-Islamophobia. We're saying no. And we teach people and we go out and engage them. So when your government comes into your life and decides that they're going to be demigods, literal demigods, who decide at the edge of a pen and paper and an eraser or a clipboard what you can or cannot do in America, I go to my natural state. I don't comply. And when you don't comply, there's consequences in America. Yeah. There is immediate consequences. These folks don't like it. So I wrote, I started a political action committee because I came to the realization that the previous regime was not going to help us out here.
Okay.
And so, I went political with it in the sense that I'm a peaceful, nonviolent advocate. This is a democracy, and America is one of the freest countries in the world. I brag about that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying these people are evil. What I'm saying is they went wrong and doubled down on their wrong as an institution, as a collective, as an agency, from the top all the way down to the informant.
Okay. So you keep on saying that now are you talking about the former administration was censoring you, or you say they became a demigod of sorts? And when you say that, what was it exactly then, Muhammad, that they were doing to, I guess, I don't
it's
know if I want to give
censorship.
You the impression of, or so, well, first of all, what is it that they accused you of doing, and what was it that they then did in response to what you were doing?
So, I've been asking them that question for 4 years. They don't want to talk to us. They don't want to deal with us, but they want to walk us. That's a big difference. They don't want to talk to us. I mean, I tried dialogue. Even in the first book, I went through the FBI Citizen Academy, invited by one arm of the FBI at the Minneapolis to go through the Citizen Academy for the FBI. But the other arm was shutting me down. It's like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
Okay. So you're talking, when you say the first book, you mean Average Muhammad Freedom Fighter.
Correct.
The book that we talked about a couple years ago. And yeah. So when you came out with this book, and it was obviously, you know, controversial to some, and now I don't think anti-radicalism should ever be controversial. I think anybody who's, it's just like I've had conversations, well, you know, I've had conversations with so many people on this podcast. Whether I agree with them or not, if I believe that they are doing things to better the world, I'm going to speak with those people, find out what it is. Maybe we agree on things, maybe we don't. Typically, we have the same ends in mind. We may just have different ways of getting there. But, and I know, you know, your book, Average Muhammad Freedom Fighter, I know how passionate you are because I know you as a person. I know how passionate that you are about, you know, de-radicalizing young people, especially young Muslims who have fallen, I guess, victim to the propaganda and the ugliness that Islamist jihadists bring to that community. And so I know how passionate you are about helping to work against that specifically. And I want to tie into that mostly because that's how I originally became familiar with your work, Muhammad. I'm having a hard time understanding why, whether it be the last administration, this administration, any administration, what it is about that work that they would target you for, I don't know, I'm just going to say cancellation. Let's just put it that way. Cancel
culture. Well, it's cancel culture, weaponized two-tier system.
Yeah, weaponized two-tier system. Explain to me what you mean, first of all, by a weaponized two-tier system. But then again, I need to unpack this because I need to understand it. I need to understand what it is, you know, when you say that they basically shut you down.
They didn't shut me down. That's illegal in America. What they did is make sure that no resources come, an embargo was maintained, censorship was done, electronic means was applied, and more importantly, blacklisting. In your name will not appear anywhere. And everybody gets more or less on your side or against you. So what they do is it's called a controlled process. And this basically got applied on me for the last 3 years on steroids. And okay. I could look and I could see it. And unfortunately, no matter what I did or how I came about it, the process just got tightened and tightened and tightened. So I started a political action committee because I could see the writing on the wall. And the writing is, the people who are in charge of our democracy and republic don't mind this happening to us. They knew about it, but they don't mind it. There was impunity out here. And with that impunity, if you're a peaceful, nonviolent person, you have a couple of choices. Number one, give up. I'm not willing to give up on anything. You know, we are Americans. We don't run, we don't hide, and we don't back up. And the second thing is fight back. Now, how do you fight back? Well, we live in the greatest democracy. We are one of the freest people on this planet, irrespective of what anybody tells you out there. I know because I've gone coast to coast, run around this country, packed halls, synagogues, churches, schools, civic arena with thousands of people. And we share communion. And I've come to the realization that the people are different than our government.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and so I am among the people. I'm a citizen. And unfortunately, my government is tone deaf, deaf, blind, and mute. One hand does one thing. I mean, I'm highly awarded. The State Department made me the citizen diplomat. That's an agency of the United States government. In 2020. And one agency is basically shutting me down. It's like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. Even within the same agency, the FBI, one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. You know, it's like we have more than one government in America. And that was shocking to me. And I started a political action committee and I say, this is politics. This has got to be politics. There's no other explanation to it. It's a political understanding of an agency called the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and they politically made that decision under national security paranoia that I'm going to be blacklisted, embargoed, and censored. So what I started doing is I started cataloging it without writing it down. And I started looking at the situation, and I started dealing with the informants all the way down to the agents, all the way down to the directorate, and I started engaging them. On the low level. And I kept on telling them, please come around. Let's talk. This got to end sometime.
Sure.
Either charge us with something, put us in jail, deport us, do what you do best, or leave us alone. We're Americans. Mm-hmm. We are Americans. You work for us. It's not the other way around. As an agency. And that infuriated people. When I say infuriated people, I mean, it's one thing for a black and Muslim to say it, but under the last administration of Democrats, a Republican to say it is treason. So I went into politics. I started Republican People of Color based on the idea that the regime had to fall democratically, peacefully, and non-violently. So I started campaigning, canvassing for the Republican Party. and I started making messages using the same skill sets they were shutting down. Unfortunately, I self-funded. Just like the other organization, I self-funded 90% of the projects myself. Because again, I'm heavily embargoed. So when the Republicans won, I say, but hallelujah. And I was like, yeah, nothing's
well, my. Well, I think a number of people did. Okay, so let's kind of rein this in a little bit then. So obviously now we're under a different administration than we've got Donald Trump in the White House. We've got Kash Patel heading up the FBI. You're now in Washington, D.C. You've got the Republican People of Color Political Action Committee. So what are you seeing now as different? Because I guess here's where I want to go with this, Muhammad, because you know me. I'm a solutions guy. I want to hear about how people are becoming part of the solution as opposed to part of the problem. I love the fact that I mean, when you're talking about, you know, nonviolence and being part of the solution and finding ways to get the word out there without having to go through standard channels where, kind of going back to what you said, right? It wasn't that they came and they chained up your doors and were not allowing people to see you, but they canceled you via back channels and then all of a sudden the places you were getting funding before, you're not getting funding anymore and things like that. I understand that. I've talked to other people, journalists, influencers who have experienced similar things. I know that. As I understand it from several people that I've spoken to, that was pretty standard practice under the Biden administration, unfortunately. You know, but again, how we react to things that are outside of our control is what separates the strong from the troublemakers, right? The real problem solvers, people who want to be part of the solution, how we react to those things that are outside of our control. How are you reacting? What are you doing right now, Muhammad, to be part of the solution, despite the forces that we know that are out there that are fighting against what you are doing for whatever reason? Don't want to even try to ascribe motives to it, but what are you doing to be part of the solution, knowing what you know about what the problem is? How are you? I mean, I know one of the things that you've done recently, obviously, is written a new book called Dissidents in America. I want you to unpack that a little bit for me. But what does this timeless fight for justice and change mean to you? What is that? And what are you doing to be part of the solution now after having experienced what you experienced in the fight that you were in before as freedom fighter average Muhammad?
Well, we evolve, don't we? I mean, every day is not the same. There's good, there's bad, and there's ugly. What happens is, if you're true to America, America will be true to you. African Americans taught me that. And the Native Americans taught me that. And the European Americans taught me that. And the Asian Americans taught me that. This is nothing new. Everybody went through this process. The Irish went through it. The Italians went through it. The Germans during World War I and World War II went through it. The Jewish community in the 50s were called communists and they went through it. I guess it's our turn as Muslims and black people of America. And I guess in the last administration, it was the Republicans' turn. I mean, this is process that went half the country now. I mean, we just had a release of information this week whereby Catholics, memos were going out, Catholics were under suspicion. I mean, we have information coming out now that basically says there was a two-tier system. People in the directorate now can't even access half the information because they ran the right hand and the left hand separately. But some of us on the outside, we could sense that. God gave me the gift of foresight. And that is a gift for humanity I use for, because I can always see the coming patterns. That's why I went against the jihadists, because I knew what was coming. That's why I spoke up before about anti-Semitism, because I knew what was coming. I spoke up about anti-Christianity because I knew what was coming. And racism, everybody knows exists. So we went ahead and did the works, and I wrote the book Dissidence in America, because I was a dissident for the last 3 years without openly doing anything harmful to my democracy or my republic. I didn't go do protesting. I just went to work. I canvassed, I organized, I didn't tell nobody about it, but I went ahead and hoped for reform, transparency, and accountability. Now, in our democracy, you have a choice. Many choices. We call it delusion, but it's the only choice we have. Either you're a Democrat or a Republican, or independent, a Green, a Libertarian, or whatever label you wish to pick for yourself. It's a free country. Now, what I knew is the people in charge were doing nothing about it. Maybe even aiding and abetting the process. I don't know. I can't put my intentions or my observations on them. And what I do know is, from the directorate all the way down to the informant, they knew about this issue. Yet that screws got tightened and tightened and tightened and tightened and tightened until it got outsourced covertly and overtly. And unfortunately, it got to a point that it became obnoxious. So November 7th, we went and voted. November 8th, we found out the government has changed. November 9th, I sat down on the book. Dissidence in America. I say now is the time to tell a story, because I'm a storyteller. That's how I fight extremism. And more importantly, I also have foresight to know what's coming in America. I knew then that in this country, people are not going to accept the new government the same way people didn't accept the previous government. And you, Mr. Wilk, you are a bring people together kind of guy. I am the same way. But I am an elephant coming from the Republican side, and I'm proud of that. I don't hide that fact, you know, and I've been saying it for years. Now, the goal is to say, look, there's a better way. And the better way is peaceful, nonviolent ways, because it holds. It holds. And it brings about results that can last for a long time, and it can go generations. Instead of violent ways, like the jihadists proposing, the anti-Semite is doing now, banning people in the streets in Colorado. You know what I mean? Or yeah, the racist is doing.
Horrific.
Yeah. I mean, all this stuff is revolutionary. I am anti-revolution. I say it openly. I don't like revolutionaries. The jihadists are revolutionaries. The anti-Semite, the racist, these are all the white supremacists. These are all revolutionaries. Hate mongers are all revolutionaries. And I told you, the biggest award I love is the one I got in 2018, a citizen diplomat from Global Ties USA. Because Maya Angelou, the poet activist, got it. And you know what our teaching is? Hate has never solved a problem.
Hate has never solved the problem.
So I can't hate these people. They're doing their jobs. For whatever reason and understanding, I joined the threat matrix of America. To be worked on. Now, I don't question their logic. These are heroes. I know that because I went through the FBI Citizen Academy. They stop pedophiles, spies, criminals, the terrorists, and also they stop espionage. They stop, I mean, they do a lot of good things, man, for this country. But there's a dark side to them. I got to see the dark side up front and personal. You know? So I wrote the book Dissidence in America. And both of them are on the website, rpoc.org. They're both free. And the reason why I made it free is because I'm afraid it might get censored in America.
Well, yeah. And like I said, we've both got friends. And well, you're one of my friends that has experienced censorship in America, unfortunately. But you and I both know, Muhammad, that the First Amendment, the right to free speech, is without that, we cease to be America, we cease to be the United States of America, this beautiful bastion of freedom that has provided more freedom than any other country in the history of mankind. tell me, as we wrap up and round out our time here, because this is so important, and one of the things that I have always loved and admired about you, Muhammad, and I still hear it in your words today, is your love for America. Mm-hmm. And again, this is something that has always stood out to me about you. But as I'm having this conversation with you today, I am hearing something that brings up a question that people have asked me before, and I've asked it of other people, but a lot of people do not understand the concept. Is it possible to love your country and dislike your government? And I'm not sure that I'm saying that. There is a difference between love of country and love of government. As we round out our time together, Muhammad, talk quickly about that.
Let me put it politely. Government sucks. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or a Democrat. We know our government sucks. But compared to other governments and other systems on this planet, communism, theocracy, and dictatorship, they suck more, man. You see, person yeah. like me, to even say this in public in those countries, I'm a dead man.
Absolutely.
That's the freedom you have as an American. You can complain all day, all night as a Republican or a Democrat, and guess what? They won't bust down your doors. Free speech is sacrosanct. It's the first thing American founding fathers gave us right after they used their guns to get it from a king. And they gave it mm-hmm, to everybody. Mm-hmm. They didn't say just the gentry and the landowners. They said it everybody. It is so unique that a group like the Ku Klux Klan can exist for 150 years and we don't ban it in America because we say compete. If your idea is better than the Ku Klux Klan, defeat them. And guess what? America did that.
Yes.
So this is the greatest country man has put together. It sucks. But others suck more. And that's the truth of it. So what we have here is special. We are the last bastion of freedom on earth. Ronald Reagan used to say that, and we say we're the best hope on earth. You have to understand, I'm a Somali, I'm an African, proudly American. And an American will look at me and say, we're cool with it. You can never claim to be a Frenchman because you got to be French, or a Russian because you got to be Russian, Chinese got to be Chinese, and Iranian got to be Iranian. But all of us, it doesn't matter where you come from, what your ethnicity is, what your creed is, what your sexuality is, what your religion is, we all have the same rights. We belong.
That's right.
You know, there used to be songs back in the 60s, this land is your land. This land is my land. We actually believe in that. Now, the main reason why I wrote that book is because I have foresight. I knew no matter who became president, whether it's Kamala Harris or Trump, one half of the country is going to go crazy. Because our politics is so polarized. By again, who? Mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. politicians, the elites, the powerful, the media, and the people in charge, who all work for the 1%. They stopped working for us a long time ago. So, what I wrote the book is dissonance in America, and I tried to find an even voice. But I'm a Republican. That is not easy to do as a Republican, especially one with what happened to me. You know, I could see the clarity over here. So my advice is to my Democrat brothers and sisters, learn to be dissidents. Be proud of who you are. Protest is good. Protest peacefully and unviolent. Dissent is good. Do it. We have a long history of it. Dissidence is good, from Susan B. Anthony to Frederick Douglass to Martin Luther King, to Harvey Milf, people dissented and dissident over here in this country. I mean, everybody did their part in this country. Just don't go mm-hmm. violent. Don't go violent.
Don't go violent.
Only a fool will burn their neighbor's house thinking theirs will stand. Yeah. You are the biggest fool. And more importantly, you're not the one gaining out here. It's them on top.
That's right. That's right.
And that's the God's honest truth. Our system sucks, but it's better than others. Let's keep it what it is. So we're saying let's evolve. So I tell my Democrat brothers and sisters, protest. Go through the court system. But the Luigi system, which I wrote in the book, we should avoid at all costs. Because once you open up that Pandora, in this country with the Second Amendment, where we have 46% of the global gun ownership in citizens' hands, we're going to burn down this country.
Violence is not the answer.
Never will
be. Not the answer.
So we have to
never was, never will be.
Yeah. Even then, I was creating products to help my government, even though part of my government was coming against me. Because at the end of the day, we only get one government. There's no two governments in this country. But the beauty of our democracy is
that's right.
Every 2 years, we can kick him out. Kick out the bums and bring in new ones. And that's the beauty of our democracy.
Yeah, the lesson there, Mohammed, is obviously, if you don't like what you see in politics, get involved, learn what you need to learn, become civically engaged, and kick the bums out. If you don't like what you're seeing, kick the bums out, educate yourself, and get involved. So, hey, Mohammed, this conversation could go on forever. This is one of those things, again, just a taste of what's going on with you. If people want to find out more about your story, find out what's going on with you, where can they find you and the Republican People of Color Political Action Committee?
Well, I had a couple of websites. I would not prefer to make it political, but that's where we are at America. It's political 24/7 now. Yeah. And I'm a Republican People of Color. I'm an advocate. I've created a political action committee. And on that website, rpoc.org, which is right next to my name, you can find 2 free books. Download it, read it, share it. Maybe it helps our democracy. But keep in mind, I'm not fair, and I'm biased. So are you, if you're honest.
That's exactly right.
Even though we're all biased, our government sucks. We all agree on that one, Republican or Democrat. This is normal. But if you look at the world, there are revolutionaries out there. They're actually burning down their governments. And the only way the governments keep them under control under theocracy, dictatorship, and communism is by the gun and fear. We don't have that here in America. So let's keep our democracy. Let's keep our freedom. And more importantly, export it. Because we don't want to be the only free people on this planet. And that's my next journey in life.
Yeah.
And if you read the book, you'll understand why. I do this based on God, country, and humanity. God, country, and humanity. That's the principle. If you read the book Dissidence in America, an average Mohammed freedom fighter, my concept comes through. And who is my God? My God is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yours could be Jesus, Allah, Yahweh, Buddha, whatever you believe or you don't believe. We don't care. We're Americans. We don't care. Because we believe in our country, the second concept. And our country is America. We got to build it. Some of us came a long way to join you. So I got to reteach you your values because you taught me these values as an immigrant. That's how America works. You know? It's a hand-me-down society.
Such a beautiful thing.
Yeah? And the third part
is
humanity. We got to see each other as human beings. Be red, be flaming red, be flaming blue. We don't care.
Yeah, that baseline is the humanity. We have to see humanity in all people. We have to work together. But we can't continue to allow certain powers to divide us, whatever their motives may be. A lot of the actions lead to the same thing, and that's dividing us. Mohammed Ahmed, Republican People of Color Political Action Committee, rpoc.org. People can find the books there. The books, again, are Dissidents in America, The Timeless Fight for Justice and Change, or Average Mohammed Freedom Fighter. Average Mohammed was a great organization. This next one, Republican People of Color, and the work that you're doing, Mohammed, I appreciate you. I value our friendship, and thank you for joining me for another incredible conversation here on Derate the Hate. I appreciate you, man.
When we say peace, love, and unity, we ain't gotta agree. The day you agree with everybody, you're North Korean, and somebody's holding a gun to you. we Americans disagree, dissent, dissidents, or support the government. Do you, America? Thank you so much.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Friends, if there's anything in this episode that provided exceptional value to you, please make sure to hit that share button. Share it with your friends, share it far and wide. And of course, if you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe right from our website so you can get the Derate the Hate podcast sent to your email inbox every week. So this is Wilk wrapping up for the week saying get out there, be kind to one another, be grateful for everything that you've got, and remember it's up to you to make each and every day the day that you want it to be. If there is something that you would like to share with me, you can catch me on most social media platforms or you can email me directly, wilk@wilksworld.com. With that, my friends, I am going to back on out of here and we will catch you next week. Take care.